lift your hands. Do you feel the presence of God?
Yes.
Yeah, hallelujah. Come on. Amen, God, we thank you that we get to even do this today. Mm. That we get to gather as the people of God. That we can worship you freely in spirit and in truth. Because so many people, Lord, can't. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is always true. That it is a light to our path. And that you have given it to us, God, to show us what to do. I ask you, Lord, that this room would be so filled with your Holy Spirit. That your word, God, would break through hearts of stone and make them hearts of flesh. That your word, God, would bring miracles and healing, even as people are sitting. That your word, God, would just change everything in these moments.
Amen.
We ask you, Lord, to forgive us for our sins.
Amen.
Our mistakes, our errors, our judgments, Lord. Our gossiping, our thoughts. Whatever it is, Lord, we're sorry. And we bring it to the foot of the cross. And we hand it over to you.
Amen.
And we know that we are fully forgiven.
Hallelujah.
So we can receive this word knowing that we are a child of God.
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord, that we are free. And who you set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. We honor you, we love you, and we thank you. And the people of God say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Grab a seat. Give it up for the Lord. Come on. The title of today's talk. It's going to be a great sermon. The title of today's talk is The Fight for Freedom. Freedom. And in today's world, people fight for freedom on lots of things. There's freedom of speech, isn't there?
No.
No. No, there's no freedom of speech. But people fight for that. And especially if you're online, you see a lot of people's speech, don't you? And people's opinions. Some people believe that the world is flat.
No.
Mm. Some people believe, you see it online, they identify as something like a cat.
A lamb.
A lamb, whatever you want, girl. But some people identify as that. Some people believe that Manchester United are the best team. Oh, what crowd do we have? What about Man City? Okay, a bit better. Arsenal? Liverpool.
Yeah!
Okay. No one's watching the match, so later, Man City, Arsenal, no, that far. Okay, we're very holy up in here. Very good. But people fight for lots of different things. Freedom of speech, people fight for different rights. And we've seen that over the centuries. If you go nearly 200, not even 200 years ago, 150 years ago, women didn't have the right to vote.
Yeah.
And people fought for that. And we have equal rights as men. Hallelujah. The way that the Bible had set it up when Jesus came, he saw us as equals. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you see people fighting for freedom even financially. We hear that as a buzzword, don't we? Financial freedom nowadays. And you know, before I worked for the church, which was only a year and a half ago, I was working corporately. I was in marketing and sales, working for big corporations, making lots of money. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Not anymore. I serve the Lord. My riches are in heaven, amen?
Yeah.
Kingdom of heaven. But I was working commercially, and I shared this story before. God did a miracle in my life, and he gave me an apartment. I was able to buy an apartment right before, or right as lockdown happened. It was a complete miracle, shouldn't have happened. But here's what went on, is I was working for these companies, these big multinationals, I'm working from home, I'm making literally €100,000, I'm making a lot of money. And I have the BMW, and I have the house, and I think I'm doing financial freedom because I'm single, right? And I'm still single now, so if you know a fella, send me my way. Girl, the prayers ain't working, what am I going to do?
Pray hard.
Fast, come on, do something. But if you know someone for real, send them anyway. Anyway, man of God, over 6 foot. Yeah. A tall girl, like, times are tough. But I was working from home, I'm working 60 hours a week, I'm on my own, and I think I'm working for financial freedom. Because you might have been like me or like me, where you're single, maybe you're divorced or you're widowed or you're just single, and the weight of responsibility is different when you're single. a tout. And what I thought was freedom was actually fear. Because I didn't believe, really, when push came to shove, that God was my provider. I believed I had to work so hard so that I wouldn't lose the house. And I had all this money and the car and the house and all of that. And I'll tell you something, for nothing, I was the most depressed. And I was the most isolated. And I'm a woman of God. And I'm on my own. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we're fighting for the wrong things. I think I'm fighting for freedom, but actually I've changed it. I'm chained to the paycheck because I'm earning thousands of euro and I'm going to go from this lifestyle to a lower lifestyle. I don't want to do that. My ego and my pride were involved. And we think we're fighting freedom and sometimes we're not. And then the things that we should be fighting for in the kingdom of heaven and that God cares about, sometimes we're not even aware of them, or we're walking away from them, and we're going back to old ways and habits. And that is what I believe that God wants to speak to us today. Are you with me?
Yes.
Do you feel God?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Buckle in. It's going to be a great one, yeah? So we're going to read Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 to 16. Who knows Moses? Yeah, we know Moses. We know the book of Exodus?
Yes.
Yeah? Not personally. Okay. Get to heaven now and go, hi Moses, how's things going? But we're reading the book of Moses, and if you know it, and it's very well known, there was how many plagues?
Ten.
Come on, Juvie, come on, babe. 10 plagues. So what we see is Pharaoh is the ruler of Egypt, and the Egyptians, and the people of Israel, which are God's chosen people, are in slavery under Pharaoh for 400 years. And Moses is their leader. And this is the time where God is saying to Pharaoh, let my people go. So God sends Moses as a spokesperson and to go to Pharaoh 10 different times and to say, if you let the people of Israel go, nothing will happen. But if you don't, a plague is going to happen. What were the plagues? Shout them out. Frogs, gnats, darkness, locusts. The Nile turning to blood, yeah? So there's 10 different ones, there's loads. What was the 10th one? And Pastor Michael can't answer, because he knows his Bible. First sons, go on, my love. The first sons of the Egyptians, so Pharaoh and his people, their first sons were to die. And that includes animals too, yeah? So Moses is sent to Pharaoh, and they're going back and forth over this. And Pharaoh agrees to leave the people go each time, but then when things ease up and the plague is gone, he goes back to his old ways. And brothers and sisters, there's people like that. They come to God in a crisis, he answers their prayers, and then they forget the goodness of God. Don't ever be like that.
Amen.
God is good in the bad,
amen,
and God is good in the good.
Amen.
Don't go into patterns and cycles of playing games with God. Don't do it. But we also see Moses' obedience too. Every time he keeps going back, and Moses doesn't give out to God and say, God, I'm not doing this anymore. 10 times I'm going to Pharaoh, he's not getting the message. He doesn't do that. He obeys. If God keeps asking you to do something, just do it. Be obedient in it. So we see Moses and Pharaoh and this 10th plague, and what happens is it kills the firstborn sons. And what we're about to read is after this. The firstborn sons die, Pharaoh says, fine, I'll let the people go. And then we're going to read just when they come to the Red Sea. We know how the story ends. We know that Moses gets the word from God, lift up your staff, and the Red Sea parts. But the people of Israel don't know that. They're in a position where the Red Sea is on one side and Pharaoh and his armies are attacking on the other side. It is impossible. They're either going to die or God is going to be true in what he said. And so this is what we're going to read. And God, we thank you for your word. Speak to us right now. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. Let's read it. Exodus chapter 14. As Pharaoh approached, so they're attacking, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? Oof. What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Watch what Moses says. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today.
Amen.
The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for
you.
Just stay calm. That's someone's answered prayer today.
Amen.
The Lord will fight for you.
Amen.
Just stay calm. And I want to look at today just four different parts, just plucking from this scripture, and two of them I believe are hugely prophetic. But I want to start with Pharaoh, and I want to start with Pharaoh's grief. And as I just explained, really, Pharaoh coming and attacking the people of Israel after letting them go, it wasn't really to bring them back into slavery. Pharaoh and all the Egyptians had just experienced all of their firstborns dying, their firstborn sons. So really what Pharaoh is dealing with is grief and anger. And what we read, if we go back a chapter, in chapter 12, Pharaoh and all his officials and all the people of Egypt woke up during the night, and loud wailing was heard throughout the land of Egypt. There was not a single house where someone had not died. So when Pharaoh and his army are going to attack the people of Israel, they're doing it out of grief. It's not to get them back. And Pharaoh's grief turned to anger. It turned to a rage. And you hear about it even in today's world. There's multiple stages of grief. And one of them is anger. One of them is anger. Pharaoh found himself in a battle that he shouldn't have been in. He had let the people go, but yet he wanted to take it all back. Pharaoh's issue was not with the people of Israel. His issue was with God. And he knew it was God. But he's taking it out on the people of Israel. Brothers and sisters, there are people who are not dealing with their grief. And because you look like Jesus, they'll take it out on you. They'll take their anger out on you. Because you look like God. And you represent him. But what should have Pharaoh done? He should have gone to God, shouldn't he? And grief can lead us, brothers and sisters, into fights that aren't ours. And I believe this is prophetic, that for some of us here today, we're dealing with grief. And grief is a funny thing. And when we think of grief, we think of people who've passed away and, God willing, are in heaven with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But there's still a grief in that. But some of our grief is, my life didn't turn out the way I wanted it to be. Some of our grief is, I didn't reach my full potential. Some of my grief is, I didn't do what God asked me to do. Some of our grief is, I made such a bad, I made so many mistakes, I'm struggling to live with myself. And if we're not careful, brothers and sisters, that grief will turn into anger, and we'll find ourselves in fights that are not ours, we'll be fighting the wrong battles, and we'll take our anger out on the wrong people. We got to guard our hearts. The book of Proverbs says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life.
Amen.
And when we deal with our grief, absolutely it's giving it to God. But sometimes it's practical too. Sometimes we need to ask for help.
Yeah.
We need to see a therapist or a counsellor. We need to talk to a friend. And we're carrying around this grief. And it just turns at times, doesn't it? So we take it out on our loved ones at home. Or we're getting into battles and fights with people at work. And it's not them. They're not the issue. That's not
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
The root of it is grief for some of us. So brothers and sisters, let's deal with our grief and not be like Pharaoh. Let's deal with it and give it to the Lord. And that he can use it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Here's the second one that I want to look at. We see that the people of Israel are trapped in their circumstances. As I said, God had told them to go to this place, and we're going to read about it. But on one side is the Red Sea, And on the other side is Pharaoh attacking them, and they feel trapped. And I want to read just before what we had read earlier to show you what God says about where he placed them. Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Camp there along the shore. That's by the Red Sea, yeah? Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will chase after you. Watch this. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. Physically, they are exactly where God sent them. They're meant to be in this moment. But it looks impossible. It's life and death. The Red Sea on one side, Pharaoh about to kill them on the other side. But God told them, this is what you're to do. And here's what we see. They're physically there, but spiritually and emotionally they're not. And brothers and sisters, there's people in this room, and that's you. God has sent you here. He sent you to this church. He provided the job. You got the college course. You prayed for the relationship and God granted it. Whatever it is, you know right now, physically in your life, I'm in God's will. But your spirit and your emotions are not matching it. And you feel like you've done something wrong. And you haven't. You haven't, because it's exactly where God has you. And here's what we see and what we know. We know how the story ends. But the people of Israel are right on the brink of freedom after 400 years. They're right there. But they feel trapped. And there's some of us and we're right there. We're right on the brink of the breakthrough. 400 years. There's some people, it's hundreds of years of generational curses. The breakthrough in the addiction is about to come through. The breakthrough of divorces in your line of family is about to be broken. The breakthrough of the sickness in your head is about to be gone. You're right on the brink of it. And you feel trapped. But God has you here. You know that it's God. And emotionally and spiritually, you're going, it's not adding up. But if God has told you to stay there, you stay there. Amen. You're about to break through. Right on the brink of freedom. Do you feel it?
Yes.
It's there. Yep. And here's what's so important. When we're right on the brink of things, it's where the enemy gets us, isn't it? When we see the people of Israel's reaction, what do? They start giving out to Moses. Now, that won't be the last time either, as we know, isn't it? People of Israel and Moses go back and forth. But they start taking it out on Moses. We should be back in Egypt. There's graves in Egypt for us. And we do the same. We're right on the brink of God breaking through. And we feel it, and the pressure and the strain and the spiritual battle. And we're going, I'll go back to that habit. I'll go back to that website. I'll go back to that mindset. I'll go back to that person. Block them. Amen. Delete the app. Get them out of your life. And we go back to the very thing that God has freed us from.
Yes.
Because it's comfortable. And we're about to break through into something new. And when God is doing something new, doesn't mean that it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that it's going to feel amazing.
Mm.
And what are we going back to? We're going back to our sin in Egypt. Brothers and sisters, God paid the highest cost for this. He sent his son so we could be free. He is invested for you to live in his freedom.
Amen.
And we go back to these chains. And for some people, you're just right there. And you feel it in your life. And going, God, what am I going to do? And when you feel trapped in your circumstances, that can be on one side, I'm dealing with sickness. And on the other side, I don't know how I'm going to hold down the job. On one side, it's the relationship is falling apart. And on the other side, it's I'm about to lose my mind. On one side, it's I can't get out of the bed. And on the other side, it's I'm so lonely and isolated. And we feel trapped. But if God has placed you there, he's going to move.
Amen.
And you have to remember that. That's why we write down what God says to us. Because we forget. We forget the goodness of God. And at this time, here's what we see. It's a time to listen. The people of Israel, in this crisis, choose to listen to Moses. Let's read what he says again. But Moses told the people of Israel, don't be what?
Afraid.
Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you.
Today
is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Hallelujah. Today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Come on. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Just stay calm. Moses got a huge fight from the people of Israel. They're giving out, there's graves in Egypt, we should have gone back, we shouldn't be here. And Moses could have fought back. Moses could have said, I don't know what I'm doing. And here's the other thing, Moses is a murderer. And God is using him as a leader. That's for someone here today. God doesn't care about your past. He can use you. If God has chosen you, he'll use you and he'll bless you for it.
Amen.
He'll grace you for it.
Amen.
Whatever you've done, leave it.
Yeah.
Leave it at the foot of the cross.
Amen.
So Moses, the murderer, is being used in this defining moment for people's freedom. And he could have fought back and given out. The people of Israel could have talked among themselves and said, Moses, we're gone. We're going to go back. You do whatever you want to. But they didn't. They listened. And here's what's important. When we are in a crisis, brothers and sisters, we need to listen. And I don't care how holy you are, how many fasts you do, how much therapy you've done, how self-aware you are. When we are in a crisis, we all panic. And when you are panicking, you are not thinking straight. Your spirit might not be right. Your perspective on things usually is not good. That's everyone in a crisis. And here's what the Bible says we should be doing in a crisis. It says, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for what?
Amen.
He rescues them, hallelujah, from all their troubles.
Amen.
So when I'm in crisis, or whatever it is, call to the Lord. That's the power of prayer.
Amen.
And if I love the Lord, he's going to rescue me from all of my troubles.
Yeah.
Might be in the timing I want or the way I want, but he'll do it.
Amen.
Here's what the book of Proverbs says. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous.
Amen.
You are made righteous by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they're in this crisis. It's life and death. And they choose to listen to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And like we just read, they're on the brink of freedom. They don't know it. But everything's about to change. They're about to go from slaves to fully free. And they choose to listen. Brothers and sisters, who you listen to in a crisis can cost you your freedom. Who is your Moses? Who are you listening to? And we all need someone, if not multiple people. And I have people in my life, and they're men and women of God. That's number one, yeah? They love the Lord. That's really important. They love me. And I trust them. Pastor Mike is one of them. But it's people who can call me out and say, Dar, your heart is all wrong. What you said was out of whack. That's not like you. Why are you doing that? We all need it. And when you're in a crisis, you especially need it. But if you don't have those relationships in a crisis, who are you going to listen to? Yourself? Like the people of Israel, go back. Go back to what you know. That's not what you need. And it's hard to listen to God too when you're in a crisis because you're panicking. You're panicking. You need people around you. So who you listen to in crisis can cost you your freedom. Who is your Moses? And this is coming up all the time. Even Pastor Tom spoke about it last week, didn't he? He spoke about people in our lives and people that encourage us and people that discourage us. Were we there? Do we remember?
Yes.
Yeah. The Spirit is speaking to our church about this. We need to be aware of the people in our lives. And if you don't have a Moses in your life, start praying for one. Ask God to show you that. And also, who can you be a Moses for? It's not all about us either. Who can I support? Who can I come alongside? Especially the young believers. Especially the younger Christians, the teenagers or the young adults. They need it too. They need that direction. Are we willing for God to use us, church? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah? Okay. And finally, get up and go. I'm going to ask the worship team, get up and come up to the stage. Come on. Get up and go. So So we read all this. Moses said, stay calm. Watch what the Lord says then to Moses. This is the next verse. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Moses did the right thing. God hadn't spoken to him and said, you're to pack the Red Sea yet. He hadn't given them any further instructions. But when God told them to go, it was time to go. When God tells you to go, it's time to go. There's a timing in the word of the Lord. And sometimes what catches us is not sinning and being disobedient. Sometimes what catches us is complaining and doing nothing. When God tells you to go, go ask for forgiveness. Pick up the phone. God tells you to give to that person. Give. God tells you to receive. Accept it. That's a harder one, isn't it? But when God tells you to do something, get up and go. And we see it all across scripture. We see the man, the paralyzed man, it talks about in Mark chapter 2. And his friends went through the roof, didn't they?
Yeah.
And he healed him, and Jesus says, get up and go. We see it all across scripture. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we need to brush ourselves off and get up and go when God tells us to go. Amen. And then when you stand with me, we're going to worship the Lord. I'm going to pray two things today. The first is that God would help us to fight the right fights. That we are fighting for the Lord and we're not caught up in fights that really aren't for freedom. They're chaining us. And the second thing is I want to pray for people who feel trapped in their circumstances. That we would hear God's voice again. That we would know that we're in His will. Amen. We're going to worship the Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts. Let's get our hearts right before we pray. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart.
The Holy Spirit is right where you're at. Yeah, it's right at your seat. Can I ask everyone to close their eyes and bow our heads? It's just to give people privacy. This is between you and God, amen? And also to help us concentrate on the Lord. If you're here today and you want to pray, God, help me fight the right fight and fight for the freedom in Christ that I have. If that's you, what I want you to do is just put your hands out in front of you. Because typically when we fight with our fists, isn't it? So if that's you, put your hands out in front of you, right where you're at. And the second prayer is those of us who feel trapped. We feel trapped in our circumstances. If that's you, will you put your hands out too? Because just like the people of Israel, you might have the Red Sea on the left and Pharaoh and his armies on the right. So let's pray. And if it's not you, that's okay. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Do you feel the presence of God?
Yeah.
Amen. God, you see the open hands. God, we want to use these hands that you've given us for good. That you would use our hands and feet to serve people in your kingdom, not to fight them. So for those of us, Lord, who struggle, that we find ourselves in the wrong fights, God, help us to surrender to your will in that. Help us, Lord, to be filled with your peace that passes all understanding. I pray, Lord, for any emotion that's in us that is not a fruit of the Spirit, that is not pleasing to you, Lord, whether that's anger or rage or disgust or despair or just depressing or anxiety, Lord, and we find ourselves in fights, ask you, Lord, that even in this moment, your Holy Spirit would start healing and moving those things out of the way, and that we would be filled with joy, that we would be filled with love, and that we would be filled with self-control. Can I get an amen? Come on, church. Help us to fight the right fights, Lord. Help us to drop the weapons of destruction and pick up the word of God and your peace. Pray, Lord, for those of us who feel trapped in our circumstances. I pray especially for those, Lord, who are struggling right in this moment. You are the Prince of Peace. You are our comforter. You are our healer, our provider, our protector. Help us to have faith that you are God and you are in control. For some people, Lord, you know how much the pressure is. You know how debilitating and suffocating it is. Help them breathe in the Spirit of God and be filled and know that Jehovah Jireh, God is my provider, is with me. And help us to see, Lord, we are not trapped in our circumstances. We are placed right in the center of your will. And I pray this week, Lord, that you would bless us abundantly. Pray it with me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance and give you his what?
Peace.
His peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.